Joining me today is Richard Sanders, Technical and Policy Advisor to the CAAV, who's going to be giving a quick refresher and update on the delinking scheme. As many listeners will be aware, as part of the post-Brexit agricultural transition, we are moving to a farming support system of public money for public goods. Basic payment has been gradually declining to be phased out by 2027. So what does the future hold? Richard, perhaps you could start by setting the scene a little.
So to kick off here, just a reminder that we're talking about an English policy today. Each devolved administration across the UK is taking a slightly different approach to rolling out their new schemes, but the delink payments, as we're chatting about today, is just for England. In England, 2023 is the last year for the BPS scheme as we know it. So May of this year was the last time that a claim for BPS needed to be prepared. And then 31st of December is going to be the last date where the scheme has any particular relevance and practical impact for farmers in England. The money released from the declining spending on BPS, and that's the funds that's going to be spent instead on what's still sometimes called the Environmental Land Management or ELMS scheme. There's been a slight movement away from that term, but it gets used a lot. So it's still useful to have our eye in on what we're talking about here. So that's the SFI, the Countryside Stewardship, or what's going to be the evolved Countryside Stewardship from next year, and then Landscape Recovery. And then there's also the various capital, technology and productivity investment schemes that come alongside that, such as the Farming Investment Fund. So as I've said, however, we've got this gradual phase down of direct payments and sort of non-ELMS and post-cap money. And that phase down is running until 2027. These delinked payments are unconnected to the occupation of land or its use in any particular way. Instead, they're simply a payment, a bit like a pension, paid to those who are eligible to receive them. We've published several notes on the payments, as well as an FAQ document, and they were included in our a webinar that we ran last year as well. And we can put a link to all of this in the podcast notes. However, today I thought it was a good time to take a quick look at some of the main features of the scheme. The RPA is starting to send out to farmers and their advisors what they call information statements about the delinked payment. And those statements give some detail about the scheme and an indication of the money that may be coming. And so this is something new for people to look at and questions might be coming in. So useful to look at the background here. There's also going to be people advising those who've been involved in land transfers or tenancy surrenders and those sorts of things in the last couple of years. And depending on what's taken place, those transfers and movements may influence both the eligibility for the payment and also the amount that's due. So a good time for a quick refresher, I think. And then so we can try and be across this as it develops.
Now, you've mentioned that the delinked payments will be replacing BPS. How is the payment going to be calculated?
So there is a connection between historic BPS claims and the delinked payments, but it's important that we see these as two different schemes. So there's a link back, but we're starting afresh with the delinked payments. So bear that in mind as we go forwards. So the level of payment, and to calculate the level of payment, we refer back to the BPS claims for the business in question, including greening and any young farmer top-up in the 2020, 2021 and 2022 scheme years. We're not, however, taking account of any of the progressive reductions that have been applied for the business in those years. So we take those claims in 2020, 2021 and 2022, these are added together, and then this gross figure across those 3 years is what's called the reference data for a particular business. This gross reference data is then divided by 3, and that gives us what's been called the reference amount. So reference data and reference amount, these are terms that are used by the RPA, and so that's what's going to be seen in any delinking correspondence or any guidance. And they're explained in there, but it's useful to think about the difference between those two. So it doesn't matter if there was a nil claim in one of those reference years, we're still going to be dividing by 3 in any case. So if we had a £10,000 claim in each of 2020, 2021 and 2022, then our reference data is £30,000 and the reference amount, so that lot divided by 3, is £10,000. If, however, there was no claim in 2020, say, and then £10,000 in each of 2021 and 2022. The reference data is £20,000, so that gross figure across the 3 years. And then our reference amount is going to be closer to £6,666. So we're doing the same division by three. The information statements currently being sent out by the RPA will set out the calculations for the business in question using the BPS history for that business. But I suggest that advisors familiarise themselves with the methodology for calculating the D-Link payment. You know, have a look at the guidance online and on our website so that those figures can have a quick sense check as well. There's a deadline for the 29th of February for raising any challenge or any query to that payment figure.
So who is eligible for the payments?
The key criteria here is that a valid BPS claim was submitted in May 2023. This doesn't need to be on the same land as in those reference years of 2020, 2021 or 2022. All it needs to be is a valid claim. So a minimum of 5 hectares in England, in an English scheme for delinking here. One thing to note here also is that we're looking at the SBI and the business making the BPS claim. So where the business structure is such that the parties can have changed, but the business continues, then we're following the business here. We're watching the business and the SBI. If no claim was made in May 2023, then the business in question is not eligible to receive the D-Link payment. What's more, if you took the lump sum exit scheme and have a look on our website for the details of the payment under the lump sum scheme, then you're also not eligible to go in for the D-Link payments as well. If you took the lump sum scheme, you've effectively closed yourself out for that money. Some allowances are made in this for inheritance cases and also for business mergers and splits as well. So these are broadly what you'd expect following that reference history through, but anyone in that situation should take a look at the detailed guidance. All of that said, and talking about that claim for May 2023 being our key criteria here, anyone who did not make a claim in 2023, but who does have some history of claims in 2020, 2021 or 2022, it's not that they have no place in the D-linked payment schemes. So don't tune out yet if that's the situation that you're in. There's going to be a window in 2024 where businesses can transfer some or all of their reference data to another party. So this could be transfers between two eligible businesses. You know, both made a claim in May 2023, but they've got some reason to transfer some of that reference data. Or it could be a transfer for a business that did not make a claim in 2023, transferring their reference data over to a business that did make a claim and is therefore eligible to receive the payment.
So what do we know about this transfer process so far?
So what we don't have here is much of the practical detail of transferring reference data. So that is the forms and the sort of the details and the processes and the information required and those sorts of things. We've been told that guidance is going to be published in early 2024. And of course, the CAOV will be briefing members when we see this, and it'll be available on the government website. But we do know the broad outline about what can be transferred and what transfers will then mean for payments. And this is also set out in the government guidance. So anyone in a particular situation where they think they might want to transfer or bring in more reference data, take a look at the guidance there as well. Simply put, where there's a transfer of reference data, then the reference data of the transferor is reduced and the reference data of the transferee is increased. So going back to our methodology that we ran over a minute ago, the reference amounts and therefore the reference payments are adjusted accordingly, and we sort of work through and we up a balance or we down a balance according to this methodology. So let's say that I have reference data, so that's the gross figure benchmarked against my 2020, 2021 and 2022 claims, and I've got reference data of £60,000. However, maybe I got out of farming in the latter part of 2021 and therefore I didn't make a claim in either 2022 or 2023. As I didn't make that claim in 2023, I'm not then eligible to receive the D-linked payment, but I do have this reference data from my claim history. So maybe my granddaughter took over the farm and then she made the BPS claims under her own business in 2022 and 2023. She then has reference data of £30,000 and, having made a claim in 2023, is then eligible to receive the D-Link payment. So my granddaughter has a reference amount under the methodology we ran over of only £10,000. So we're taking her reference data, her full claim history, £30,000, and we're going to divide it by three because we divide by three in any case. However, I could transfer her my £60,000 reference data. So I've got no way to claim the D-Link payment, even though I have data. And that would boost her gross total to £90,000. She would then have a reference amount of £30,000. So her payment has been boosted by the fact that she's received more data transferred in. Of course, we could come to some agreement on the terms of the transfer. You know, it's between the parties, you know, to settle the reasons for the transfer and any conditions and those sorts of things that come along with transferring reference data from one person to another. This is a very simple example, but hopefully it gives a bit of a flavour of what can be done under this transfer process. On occasion, a transfer of land may also need to accompany the transfer of reference data. So this is going to be the case where you have a reference amount of more than £30,000, but the transfer is for only part of your reference data, or it's to more than one business. So you're splitting your reference data between different places on the transfer. You want to transfer out reference data that's been transferred to you from another business. So a second stage transfer, you're going to have to send some land with that as well. Or you want to transfer reference data from a business where the SBI has been closed. We're going to know a lot more about the process here, and things will be confirmed and settled when the transfer guidance is published next year. But those interested and those who think they might be in this position to either transfer or receive reference data should look at the main delinking guidance for some more detail. It's set out in there with more examples and case studies about where people might transfer data.
Okay, thank you. So how will people receive the delinked payment? Do they need to apply for it?
So other than any transfers, as you know, if we just run across, the process is mostly going to take care of itself. The delink payment is going to be calculated using the methodology run over here, and then the payment will be sent each year into the business bank account, subject to the declines of that, the phase out of BPS, and people will be familiar with the calculator that's available on the government's website. We've got confirmation of the decline in the payments up until 2024, but like I said, it is going to be gone by 2027. However, as I've said, advisors and their clients should look over their information statements, you know, check the calculations, familiarise themselves what's going to happen with the D-Link payment, and have a look at the government guidance and the publications on our website as well.
And what happens to the BPS entitlements?
So as a really broad brush overview, BPS entitlements essentially evaporated from May 2023. So while they were needed to claim BPS this year, they're not needed to claim the D-Link payment. So they're not needed anymore to unlock a subsidy or a payment. You know, BPS is being phased out. We've got these delinked payments. SFI has certain eligibility criteria, but we don't need entitlements for the SFI, country social stewardship. You know, the schemes are moving away from the entitlements from that point of view. So BPS 2023 was the last year where BPS entitlements were needed. They don't need to be transferred back to the RPA or anything like that either. We really need to come back to that separation here. So it'll be talked about as a replacement scheme for BPS, but actually these are different schemes. We're making a reference back to our payment history, but we're in a new scheme here. For any agreements then that require the transfer of BPS entitlements, so thinking about end of tenancy matters or the sale of a farm or transfer of some land, the first and most important thing to say here is that those in this situation need to look very closely at the terms in that agreement. So get familiar with the guidance of delinking and how it works, eligibility, the calculation of the payment, and then think about the terms of the agreement and what land is moving and when. You know, every circumstance is going to be different depending on the wordings and the timings. I mentioned earlier this ability that people will have to transfer reference data to another eligible business. We ran over just now this ability that people will have to transfer reference data from one eligible business to another. So there's nothing to prevent parties coming to some agreement between themselves about how to deal with reference data. But this is a separate consideration for anything related to BPS. I appreciate with this sort of broad brush overview, and with the range of situations here, this is going to be unclear in some circumstances. So any of our members with questions on this, have a look at the guidance or get in touch with me. My details can be found on the website, and send me an email and we can have a look at it on a case-by-case basis.
Something that is very clear is that the end of BPS is going to be a significant change to what people are used to.
Yeah, that's right. Moving from BPS to the delinked payments is one of those real milestones in the agricultural transition that we're going through. So we're really breaking that connection between occupying land and receiving direct payment. You know, I've said already, new government schemes are much more of a something for something approach. You know, you said in your introduction, public money for public goods. So we're looking for environmental or maybe productivity outcomes or animal health and welfare things. So in that case, the payments and the schemes, they're much more part of each business's decision-making process, and they're a business decision from this point of view. So what's the value to the business of going into SFI, for example? Is it going to support the business, underpin some of the activities, or maybe a planned change? You know, maybe we're thinking about changing the cropping practices anyway, or there's a little bit of land that's less productive, and so there's a business decision there about what schemes and funding might be available. Is there going to be a return on a piece of equipment funded through a productivity scheme? You know, it's all very well getting some funding, but then putting that piece of equipment to productive use, bring down our costs, make us more efficient, all those sorts of things. From a professional perspective, you know, and from an advisor's point of view, that annual BPS claim and payment cycle that's really set the rhythm for many farmers and their advisors, you know, for many, that's been the initial contact point that's triggered a general catch up, you know, and then maybe flushing out more of the coming work for the year. So maybe there's a planning application going on, or some succession planning, or other professional matters that need to be taken care of as well. So that's an important secondary question. You know, how do you stay in touch with clients without the regular completion of the BPS claim? You know, for who was that you're in? You know, your point of your sort of starting point for those discussions as well. Zooming out sort of a little bit further and thinking about things like regulation, another significant change with the end of BPS is that cross-compliance goes as well. So at the end of this year, cross-compliance in England is fading away too. Cross-compliance then is replaced by regulation. And so we're going to see a regulatory baseline for land managers in England. You know, so which pieces of legislation, what regulations do we need to get familiar with? The end of cross-compliance is another fairly hefty and complex topic, and that's probably best left for another podcast. There's lots of work going on this on the moment as well. So, of course, we'll be keeping members up to date.
It sounds like we may have more recording to do soon. Thank you, Richard. As ever, members can keep up to date through the detailed briefing notes on the CAAB website. Richard, thank you once again for joining me.
Thanks, Olivia.
And there we are. We've reached the end of yet another episode of the CAAB podcast. If you want to keep up to date with all future episodes, or indeed catch up on previous ones, please head to our website, or you can subscribe for free on whatever platform you use. Also, if you have any feedback or ideas for future episodes, please get in touch by emailing us on enquire@caav.org.uk. That's it for today. So until the next time, thank you very much for listening, and bye for now.